It's Candy O 742. Stand by, Mariah Carey next.
I would rather be in the field of animation. You know, feel like I could be myself, yet someone different at the same time.
Bringing a world perspective to today's news.
Why voiceover? It's powerful, it's creative, it's cool.
Oh yes, voiceover is cool, but it's not as cool as talking shop with Dan Lothian and Law Lapidus.
What's that? It should be Law Lapidus first, then Dan Lothian?
Eh, they'll fix it in post. This is Mike, Camera, Action.
Great as always.
That's what we shoot for, great.
We shoot for greatness.
If not excellence.
On our podcast. Mm. And we hope that we'll make other people great as well by listening.
You know what I always say, Dan? You know what makes us really great?
No, tell me.
We know how to make you great. Because we're really not great unless we make you great. That's really what it is. You know?
Right, there you go. And look, we always want to be upfront, transparent with our audience. And I am speaking to you today. I'm across the table. I'm looking through a microphone pop filter because we're having mic troubles.
Just
and the only way to keep the buzz out is to have the mic at a weird angle. And someday we'll do a podcast on shortcuts and tricks and MacGyver-esque kind of things
That's
you can
right.
do.
I just hope I don't look better through the pop filter. That's what I'm hoping right now.
Oh, just more. Well, I just see the top of your head. So
okay.
Your hair just looks
sufficient,
wonderful.
As exactly. long as you can hear my voice.
Exactly. So today we're going to be focusing on whether or not you need an agent to make it in this business. And the answer to that is yes and no. So we're done.
We've all been left completely unfulfilled by that conversation. Thanks for the
Thank
podcast,
you.
Dan.
Can we have the music roll, please?
The only one who's totally psyched is Brendan right now.
Brendan, he's
like,
done.
He's simple answer kind of guy,
That's
you know?
Right. He's kicking back in his chair about ready to pop over. Okay, let's move on to podcast number two.
This is a great conversation, though, I have to say. This is really, really something that we get asked all the time. I'd love to get your perspective on it from your end of the industry. Do we need an agent?
Right.
Let's say you, Dan.
Well, I initially, when I got into the business, I wasn't making enough money where I needed to give an agent a cut of that. Because if that were the case, then I'd be in the negative numbers. The paycheck wasn't big enough. But as I started progressing to bigger markets, then for me it was important to get connected with an agent because it was getting more difficult to even get on the radar of top markets or the networks. They just weren't, unless you knew
right.
someone, you just
right.
couldn't even get in the door.
Right, right.
And so I needed someone who had relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and so I think that it is, depending on how big you want to go, mm-hmm. I think an agent is not only good in helping you get in the door, but helping you navigate some of the contract areas and other things. They will take advantage of you, and mm-hmm. and you need an agent to assist you. And I think for other reasons as well, which we will get into as we continue in this podcast. But mm-hmm. I, from my perspective, an agent was very helpful in getting on the radar of some of the bigger markets and the networks. That I could not have done on my own.
Sort of like an advocate. Right?
Exactly, yeah. And if you have, you have an agent who knows Jim and Mary on a first name basis and is calling up and talking to them about, hey, how is our big anchor doing
right.
today? Oh, by the way, I got this new guy, Dan, who is perfect for this mm-hmm. opening because he knows already about this opening. He's already having this conversation and then your name comes up. Right?
Right.
So that gets you one
and
step closer.
And this actually is harkening back to our previous conversation on an earlier podcast about the networking aspect.
Exactly.
Of the
right.
who you know, right?
Exactly.
Knowing
yeah.
the Mary and Jim is important at the end of the day.
Right.
Because
yeah.
it's really only so far you can go completely alone on an island, completely isolated with no food. Brendan, are you with me on that? Just
are you awake?
Just completely alone, right? No, you need to have a circuit. You need to have a team.
You really
say a
do.
A team on your side.
That's true. And on the entertainment side, do you see it the same way as on the
yeah.
journalism, broadcast journalism side?
I do, Dan. It's really interesting question we get from clients all the time. So say you have someone who comes in who is an actor, and they say, you know what? I want an agent. How do I get an agent? Well, that's really a loaded question because, right. you know, we got to ask them as a coach, we have to be honest with them and say, well, where are you coming from? Do you have a resume? Do you right. have credits built up? How many years of experience do you have? What's your professional training like?
Right.
You know, before we can really answer that question, because I think a lot of people want to get agency representation too early.
Good point.
You know,
right.
and the agent, you have to remember what, at least on our side of the game here, what an agent really does is an agent works for you.
Right.
That's what they do. So they want to know, am I working for someone who is credible, who has credentials and credits, and someone I can sell?
Right. And the agent has to say yes to take you on. Just because there are agents out there, it doesn't mean that you can call them up and say, hey, rep me. There are a lot of
right.
people trying to and they want to pick the people they believe will make the money, will actually be successful, and will be able to get the gigs that they sent them out on. So I think that's important, too. Just because you want an agent doesn't mean that you will get one.
Absolutely. Or you may get an agent that is not a good fit for you. You're just
right.
not the team that's going to move ahead. And that's very common. Actually, you know, one way actors could tell, or talent can really tell, is an agency a fit for you? Look at your first year with an agency. Track your auditions. Track your bookings of how many gigs you're getting, and track the kinds of clients they are submitting you for. And that is one way you can tell if this is a good a fit for you from an agency perspective.
That is such a good point, because I remember back in the early days when I started thinking about getting an agent, there was one agent who was interested in repping me, and I did a little bit of research, and I realized that this person, and I won't mention a name because I believe he's still around working, mm-hmm. but he would take you know, your, at the time, tape, and put it in a grab bag, if you
mm-hmm.
will. Oh, there's
mm-hmm.
there's an opening at such and such station. I'm sending you 50 people. You go through it. I didn't want to be part of the bag.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be part of an agency that could give me the personal attention that I needed, and when I got pitched for a job, that it was with my particular skills in mind. And
right.
so I went
right.
with a smaller, more boutique kind of agency, not mm-hmm. one of the big brand names at the time, that was really, I call it the buckshot approach.
That's
they,
really
you know,
smart,
they
Dan.
They kind of threw it at the network and hopefully crossed the fingers
exactly.
you were the one they picked.
Exactly. And a lot of know? Talent gets very seduced by the big agency that
exactly.
is, you know, repping Johnny Depp, or
right.
they're repping, well, guess what? They're your competition.
exactly.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the boutiques are the ones that are going to be, you know, highly discerning about who they're going to take in, who they're going to represent.
Right.
They're going to be very careful about being in touch with you, or making sure you're in touch with them. And if a year goes by, a year is sort of my mark as a manager. I always look at a year and say, what have you done in a year? Or what have they done for you in a year? And really, really looking at that track. But as a boutique, they're going to pay attention
right,
to you
right.
because simply there aren't that many people.
That's right. And they typically pay attention. The bigger firms will pay attention to where the money is coming from. So
mm-hmm.
if the Johnny Depp or the main anchor at ABC is their client, when that client calls, they take that phone call because they're making, you know, it's a $10 million contract. So it's a significant income component of their business.
Right.
When you're making your small paycheck and you're mm-hmm. trying to bug them every day, they're not going to be there for you as often as,
exactly.
as their big clients. So you get someone who really cares about not only helping you get a job, but being part of your career and helping you along, then you're just as important to them as the big money client.
That's right. And getting back to your original, you know, question you had posed, which is really tough to answer, should I have an agent?
Right.
And if I should, when should I have an agent? You know, I would say the first thing you have to really look at is what kind of a market are you in? Are you in a smaller market? Are you in a large market? Go back to how much experience and credits you have, because one of the things the agency is going to look at, especially in a larger market, is your resume. They're going to see
yeah.
who you've worked with, what roles have you played, what other agencies are you currently repped by or have been repped by, have you been dropped by other agencies? You know, what is your selling factor?
Right.
before they take you on or before you make the decision to go on with them. It really needs to be a mutual decision.
That's right. Yeah. And right? You're, it's so important if you're in New York or Los Angeles or Boston, where we are based, some of the other bigger markets, it's more competitive and it's a little harder to get the gigs, to get on the radar, to get noticed. And if you're in a mid-level market, where there's not as much competition, you're right. I mean, more than likely, most of the people there will not have agent representation. So you, you're in a better position, I think, to get some of those jobs.
Right. Dan, would you say that you would like to see people really working hard as their own agent, as a self-agent, for as long as they can to build themselves up, to then get in front of an agency?
I think, and not just for that purpose. I mean, I think people need to be working on their behalf even if they do have an agent. I mean, my agent was out there trying to get me jobs and negotiating my contracts, but I was also out there meeting people and looking for opportunities and sometimes going to my agent, hey, I heard about this thing that's going down. Now, a lot of times he was plugged in and knew about that.
Ooh, the plot thickens. Yeah. I like this.
Right, but you can't say, okay, I have an agent now, I'm just going to throw my hands up.
I love that. So you're talking about being proactive.
You have to be proactive. I mean, an agent doesn't solve all your problems or fill all your needs. It's an important component of your overall movement forward in your career, but mm-hmm. you still have to work. And so it's important that you find the right agent, but it's also important that you continue to assist that agent in meeting people and keeping your ears open and getting plugged in, making those contacts. And then you take it to your agent. You know, it's just like when you have a real estate agent who's out there looking for a property. Mm-hmm. And you still, it's good to look around. I remember when we were looking for our home, our mm-hmm. agent, we had looked at 30-some homes, mm-hmm. and we could not find a home. And we were out there on our own looking for things. And the home we ended up with was not a home that our agent found.
Right, right. We said, Isn't that ironic?
Right. We said,
Isn't
hey,
that funny
we
when
just,
you think about that?
Right, we just, right. We rolled by this place, and it was kind of neat. And then we called our agent up and said, can you check it out? Mm-hmm. And that then the agent took it the rest of the way. So I think the same way with an agent in the business is that you have to work alongside that person, not expect them to do magic every day.
That is so important. You're really preaching to the choir, as right. they say, right? Preaching to the choir.
Preach,
and that
brother,
is,
preach.
Preach.
And, this is you Sunday. Know. Preach, preach, preach.
There you go. When we deal with agencies, and we partner with agencies all over the place, all over the nation, we really want to have our clients understand that when we introduce them or when we are connecting them for an audition, that they are not in a powerless position. They're not in a vulnerable position.
Right.
They're in a position where they're really looking for a business partner. They're in a position where they're looking for someone who's a good fit for their career. But understand, you are still a commodity.
Exactly.
And as a commodity, it does have to be the right fit for their client base, but more so, they want to take on people like you that are energized, that are proactive, that are out there doing. They're not waiting for the phone to ring, right, Dan?
Exactly.
Right? Like Brendan does all the time, just waits for the phone to ring.
Exactly. In fact, sometimes he picks up the phone just to find out if there's a dial tone there, even before it rings. Exactly.
Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Brendan makes the phone ring.
He's a rain maker. That's he calls himself. That's why.
Yeah.
It's
but
like, hey, watch. Watch me call on my cell phone and then I'll pick it up.
Back in the day, there was a way on payphones that you could get the phone. You press a couple of buttons, hang it up, and walk away. And 20 seconds later, the phone rings.
Oh, wow. So you could create this kind of aura about you that you were busy, right? Because the phone was ringing. Is that why you did it?
No, this is when I was in like middle school.
Oh. Well, you were building your business, that portfolio then, weren't you?
Back in the day. How old
school.
Are you?
I think it was last week.
Surrounded
in middle
by.
School. So look, let's pretend then that you do get an agent. And so I think we should lay out what are some valuable things that an agent can bring to the table. So now you've decided, I do need an agent. I found a really good agent. I think we work well together. What are some things that you should expect that agent to do? And I think it's a little different on the broadcast side, I think, than entertainment, where you're talking a lot of different projects. So you're using your agent on a more regular basis to create income, mm-hmm. where for me it was – you know, get me a 3-year contract, then sure. we don't really negotiate that much. But what are some sure. things that we should be expecting from an agent on a regular basis?
That is a great question, Dan. I'll give you a few
I have some
a few tips on that one. The first one is, of course, once you either meet your agent through a manager or you are cold auditioning through a workshop or, you know, a casting workshop of some kind, if they are expressing an interest in you, you need to jump on that yesterday. Now, time is of the essence, right. especially when it comes to second and third parties in our industry. So if an agent or a manager or a casting director is calling you or emailing you, you must attend to it right away, because if they are reaching out to you and they're right. opening up their roster for new talent, they're also reaching out to another 20 or 30 people.
Right, right.
And they want to see who gets back to them and who's really eager and really, you know, seriously interested. So you want to respond. And why do you want to respond so fast? That is a demonstration. Everything you do for someone who doesn't know you, agent or not, is a demonstration of your work ethic, uh-huh. of how you think, of your mindset, and how you work. Mm-hmm. Just getting back to people in a reasonable amount of time, which I would call 1 to 2 work days, tells them, this is how they're going to work with me. This is how they're going to treat me and my client. And right. our industry, as you know, Dan, it's so fast.
Right, exactly.
It's a really fast-moving industry. So I would say, jump on it.
So the fact that I took 2 days to return my agent's email the other day, that wasn't a good thing?
Right. I'm surprised. They didn't replace you.
Yeah, they may have. I have to go check.
Who knows?
So what about the situation of money? I know that's always important. And in my case, I think it's important that an agent is good at negotiating the amount of money that you take home. And what's great about having an agent is that they rep a number of people sometimes in the very same company that you're working. So they know how much people are making. So I think sure. that's important. Is it when you're on the entertainment side, is there room for negotiation, or is it sort of fixed? This role pays this much and you take it or leave it?
That's a great question. I mean, typically your state, your jurisdiction of geography is going to dictate that. So I'll give you an example. In Massachusetts, by Massachusetts state law, an agency can only take 10% out of a talent's paycheck. So if they're trying to take more, it's a bit of a red flag for you to just note, by law, they are legally not available to do that. And why is that? Because they are called a recruiting agency. They're the same as a headhunter or a recruiter who's going out to find you work. So that is mandated by the state how much they can take.
So whereas other
states in New England are different. They may be able to take 15%.
Right.
So you need to do a little bit of homework as to where you live and what the industry rates are in your area and in your state. And they're pretty standard and they're easy to find out and very much out there. And once you meet with your agent, you have to know, you just wouldn't believe how many clients I have who are repped by an agent, Dan, and they have no idea if they're exclusive or not.
Oh,
and I
wow.
said, but wait a second, hold the phone. Did you read your contract? Yeah, well, I kind of skimmed it. Yeah, I looked at it and I think he said this and I'm not sure. And I said, listen, don't bother him or her, but just go back to the paper. The paper says everything. You're
so
under a legal
contract,
right? Just
read
your paper. And if you don't understand it, it's okay, you guys. You know what? We're always learning in the industry. Most of us are not lawyers. Most of us don't deal with contracts. That's the agent's.
Right.
That's the agent's job. But do the due diligence. Take that contract before you sign it. Take it to your lawyer or to your friend's lawyer and have it read over so you understand and you know what you're agreeing to.
Right. So negotiating with your agent, knowing that there's a cap, at least depending on what state you're in, 10% or 15%. So now let's talk about the actual job. So they get you a voiceover job, right? And it says this is how much it pays, or they get you some kind of other acting job, mm-hmm. and they say this is how much. Is there room to negotiate that, or are those prices in terms of your compensation? Are those fixed?
You know what I would say? You know, if you asked me that question 10 years ago, I'd say no. But now our industry, Dan, is like the Wild West. We need, you know, guns and chaps, and we need a horse outside.
We need it all. We are
out there in the Wild West. Why? Because it's a global market. If you're a voiceover talent, you are competing against someone who's in Chicago, someone who's in China, and someone who's in Fiji. And that's your competition.
Fiji.
It is the Wild West out there. So
a lot of Fiji voiceover people I know, right?
I'd like to hear what that sounds like.
Everybody's going after Fiji. The Fiji folks.
Yeah, there you go.
I want to go to Fiji.
I haven't had a casting for Fiji in a long time. But the point is, the nature of agencies now is shifting with the technology. So now we're seeing many more online agencies, which, guess what, have tons of legal gray zones and a lot of controversy surrounding them. Doesn't mean they're not great. Some are great. And some are really the only way that talent can get seen or heard. But the online agencies are online. You will never meet an agent in person. You will never sign a contract in person. Everything is done online. And quite oftentimes, you'll even pay monthly fees to receive your materials, your copy online, which is now becoming the industry standard. And why is that? Because it's a huge amount of money for that agency office to be bringing in your materials. I mean, you know, if they're big, multiply your materials.
By everybody, right.
By all everyone else. And then sending out stuff. They have to have an online web infrastructure to do that and to manage that. So that's what you're paying for. You know, typically we would say when you are signing with an agency that's a local agency, you would never pay them. You would never pay any money. They would just take a commission from your work. But now with the online happening, there's sort of a new industry structure happening.
I'm glad you brought that up because we've been talking a lot about sort of traditionally this is how agents work and here are some of the ways that you should think about it. But there's a whole new dynamic now because of the technology and how you can promote yourself and the kinds of agencies that are out there. So that's certainly something to keep in mind.
How does that affect you, Dan, on your side? What are you seeing?
Well, you know, what you're seeing is that some people are choosing to sort of rep themselves or at least assist, as I said earlier, your agent by putting together. You can do it with YouTube. You have your own YouTube channel, right? Mm-hmm. So in addition to your agent, I guess, doesn't have to do as much work because you're doing the work and you can just send around a link to people and say, check me out, right? And sometimes you do something interesting or controversial and you get people's attention and they start following you that way and you can get a job. So I think, you know, the book's not written yet on how this will all sort of impact all of us going forward, but you have to pay attention to how quickly the technology is moving along and changing, you know, sort of these structural traditional ways that we've had to get work in the industry.
Absolutely.
And so we have to pay attention to that.
And you know, it's interesting. Our studio worked with an associate in New York for quite a long time, about 3 years, and she moved to LA. And she was a casting associate at NBC, and she was tremendous. And one of the things she would say over and over and over again when she was training our clients is, listen, you need to be proactive in terms of rising above your competition, and you need to put your stuff out there online. Right. I'm actually casting online. So when I'm looking for another series regular for my show, I'm not only getting agency submissions, I'm getting self-submissions, or I'm finding you online. And everyone sort of sat up and said, really? She said, yeah, you should be shooting your own webisode series. You should be putting your stuff out there.
Right. So, so the question then is, should you have an agent? The better question would be, should you have a second agent? Because the first agent is you, and you're your best agent. And then there's this other agent that you're going to be, I mean, you're free, right? Because you're not paying yourself. but then the other agent that you're going to give a percentage of, these are all tips that we're giving you about not only finding the right agent, but also some of the things you can expect from your agent. And to that end, one of the things that I've always appreciated having an agent for is being the bad cop. I can be the good cop. Mm. The agent can be the bad cop. And there have been times where something goes down at my company and I want it to be addressed. I know that if I go in with a baseball bat and a loud voice, that it's probably not going to end well for me.
Right.
But I can call up my agent and I can say, can you call up and yell at them?
Oh,
and
God.
My agent could go yeah. off the wall, which he has done. And then yep. I can call up and apologize on his mm-hmm. behalf and say, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry he did that, but is it all taken care of?
That's a great point, Dan. Brent's taking notes right now. Listen, don't teach him the wrong thing, okay? He needs to be brought up the right way. But you're right. It's the sort of pass the buck
right.
guy that you're not intentionally doing that, but they no. are neutralized.
Yes, I know.
Well, they're a neutralized zone for you in
right.
the sense that, you know, you don't have to be the one in that, you know, firing line.
Exactly.
I agree with that. And I also think, too, that agent is going to be really excited when they see you working harder than they are.
Right.
They're going to be really
yeah.
excited. I oftentimes say this to clients, you know, work harder than your agent. Bring them work. And they say, why, right. why should I bring them work, Law? I mean, isn't that why I'm working with them? And saying, well, no, it's an equal mutual relationship. So work
it
hard,
is,
bring
yeah.
them work. And you know what? Give them the commission, even though they didn't bring it to you.
Yeah.
Give them the commission. That's a sort of etiquette. We talked about that etiquette protocol. You don't need to legally. You certainly don't need to. But it's a good idea to, because when you do something like that, it gives them the message of how appreciative you are to having the relationship, and you're going to be the first in line.
Right.
You're going
right.
to be the first in line for submission.
So, yeah, if you're thinking about getting an agent, if you have an agent and you don't like your agent, we've given you a lot to think, to chew on, really. I wish this was information that we had when I was looking for an agent. It was go to the library, pretty much, find a book on agents, and then cold call and have none of them call you back.
Exactly.
That was
kind of
how it works. So it worked out real well.
They thought I was talking about a house, buying a house, when I talked about an agent.
That's right. And don't think of it as, and you alluded to this earlier on, it don't get all starry-eyed by saying, I'm rep by, you know, agency mm-hmm. A, right? Just mm-hmm. so you can brag about it, because that may not be the best agency for you.
Right.
So really do your homework. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to get connected with just the right agency. But just don't, because of that, don't take the first one that comes along
mm-hmm.
because it really has to be the right fit.
Absolutely.
Really has to be.
And you may never sign exclusively. You may
right.
be freelancing with six different agencies nationwide. That's very common, especially for voiceover talent. Or you may have no agencies. You may
right.
be your own agent. You know, I think that the field is really open. It's really what makes you successful and what makes you happy in your career.
Yeah. The final point I will talk about when it comes to agencies or an agent is that what some people will do, and I believe, I don't know this for a fact, but I know that Katie Couric, for the longest time, did not have an agent who repped her the way that most agencies do. She had a lawyer, a media lawyer, who negotiated her deals and would help her, you know, get a better deal, but didn't have. And there's a guy in Washington like that. A lot of people have used him. So they stay away from the agent kind of thing. They make their own connections, and they
right,
pay a
right.
one-time fee mm-hmm. of whatever it is, either a percentage of what they sign, or it's a flat fee, and it works out very well for them. So I mm-hmm. think that's another option as well. If you're thinking about whether or not you should get an agent, it's not a long-term relationship. You pay once, and it's over with. It's difficult sometimes every month when you're looking at how much you're paying your agent
right.
once you've signed on the broadcast side. You sign
right.
a four-year deal, and every month it's a house payment that you're sending to an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, wow, I could have just paid $5,000 up front and that'd mm-hmm. be it. So that's something for you to consider. I mean, that we've thrown out a lot of different things, but we hope that this will help you if you're thinking at all about an agent.
Love it, Dan. Thanks so much.
So then I was like, do you want to see my Neumann?
Dude, we're still rolling.
What? They're still listening? Don't these people have homes?
Well, since you're still with us, check us out at lalapitascompany.com and littleparkmedia.com and look for Media Monster, the Learning Hub programs. Everything from coaching to podcasts to media events and very cool and necessary seminars and workshops.
By the way, did that lazy tech director ever fix the intro on post?